14 months ago, if you remember, we were doing a broadcast right here, just another regular breakfast show, and we got a call saying there's smoke on the horizon. I think there's a fire in a factory in Footscray, in West Footscray.
That's right. We had so many phone calls that morning because it was incredible.
And that's how it happened. It started with one or two calls. By the end of the morning, we'd been receiving hundreds of calls from people saying we can see the fire all the way across the other side of Melbourne. Some people saying we can see it all the way coming into Melbourne.
Smoke.
That's right, seeing the smoke rising in the horizon. We knew then that first responders, the firefighters, the fireys would be rushing in to deal with the fire. We never once thought at the time about what they might be exposed to when they go in to fight that fire, and what they might be exposed to is a question that even they have today, 14 months later. We're speaking right now with Commander Mick Tisbury. He's the Vice President of the UFU, the United Firefighters Union, and they have been concerned about what the fireys were exposed to on that day and still are looking for answers. Good morning, Mick. Have you gotten any closer to finding out what happened?
Good day, Sammy. How are you going? we've just been handed a list on the 4th of November, so Monday, from the EPA of the list of chemicals our firefighters have been exposed to. Now, obviously, we would have liked to have had that list a lot earlier, because a lot of our firefighters have been suffering pretty significant health effects, and in order to treat them and get them treated, the medical specialists have to know what they've been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So 14 months later, to finally get hold of it, you know, it's a good thing we've now got it. It's outrageous that we had to threaten legal action to actually get the list of documents.
What have some of the effects been? What are some of the health impacts?
Well, it's almost a bit like deja vu. This is like Coot Island. So a lot of the firefighters had just spontaneous nosebleeds. Collapsing, passing out. I was with a firefighter last Friday, and he just got up to go to the toilet. He actually hasn't returned back to work. He came in for a meeting to try and get some answers, and he got up and just collapsed. He had to call an ambulance for him, and he spent the next 8 hours in emergency.
This is frightening, given that it's the kind of stuff that you would have thought would no longer be taking place. You know, people rushing in to fight a fire and discovering that the entire area is a basic toxic bomb that they've been exposed to now, unwittingly. Why was there such a delay on the part of the EPA in giving you the list of chemicals that the fireys had been put in front of?
So that's something you really have to put to the EPA.
They didn't provide a justification?
No. So I would have hoped that everyone, governments, regulators, industry, and of course the public, would agree that firefighters shouldn't be injured and doing their job. This is just morally reprehensible that the EPA had a list of these chemicals. I mean, I'm under the belief that they handed this list of chemicals to the person who was making Leslie White, but Graham Leslie White, who's now hopefully going to be charged and locked up for eternity for the damage he's caused. But they gave him a list of these chemicals early on in August. Yet here we are. We finally, our firefighters didn't get this list until the beginning of this week after threatening legal action to get it. So I've got no idea why EPA didn't give it to us.
Mick, is there another issue here as well? I mean, obviously, that is massive. Firefighters now having to deal with health implications that they've been unaware of how to deal with for 14 months. But we've also got first responders going into situations like that, obviously ill-equipped. Why is the equipment not good enough to protect them? You know that they're going to be going into situations where we don't have that sort of information at hand at the time. Why are they not protected?
We can't wear fully encapsulated big chemical splash suits at a structure fire, in a fire, because you get shrink wrapped. So we've got our PPE, our normal turnout gear. We have breathing apparatus. We were running short of BAs at the time. But ordinarily, so these are extraordinary set of circumstances. Ordinarily, there's legislation in place to protect, and it's designed to protect firefighters. So there should be a manifest, there should be bunding, there should be passive and active fire protection systems. There should be placarding on the building so that we know what chemicals we're dealing with when we first arrive on scene. This is an illegal storage facility. So this criminal and his mates who are making a quid out of collecting all these chemicals and storing them all over the place.
How are the firefighters supported, though, when they've gone into a situation like that, they've come out, they're unwell, what sort of support are they receiving?
Well, it's really hard to treat.
I mean, I probably mean more from the service, I reckon, in terms of ensuring that they are, you know, well cared for.
Given time off and...
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
So a lot of the firefighters, they've all put in work cover, or the ones who are crook, put work cover claims in, but that's just been hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, not from the MFB, but by WorkSafe and just the system. That needs to change. I mean, dealing with insurance companies and being sent to various specialists.
So what does the union want right now? What's the area you're focusing on in the immediate inquiry? Is it more information about the chemicals in the fire? Is it more funding for the firefighters who are ill? Or more, like you said, breathing apparatus, so the next time something like this happens, the firefighters are better protected?
Well, first of all, I want to applaud the state government has actually done something. So the Attorney General, Jill Innes, actually changed the dangerous goods legislation. And we welcome those tougher penalties. Anyone who robs another person of years of their life should face jail time. But we're focusing on our firefighters. I mean, every job we attend, we're exposed to hundreds of toxins and nasties. But these particular illegal chemical storage facilities are particularly nasty. There needs to be reforms to the work cover legislation. There needs to be... Obviously, now we've got the tougher penalties for those people who do this kind of thing. We're going to work with the MFB to get more equipment to review some of our systems of work to make sure that they're as safe as possible. But our focus right now is just getting the specialist treatment and the help for our firefighters so that they can... because they've attended this fire, they're now going to forego quality and quantity of life. Just for sharing the community. We're going to look after them. We're going to get the help that they need and get them treated, hopefully get them back on deck.
Indeed, and hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Commander Mick Tisbury, Vice President of the United Firefighters Union.
It's definitely something that always brings to the front of mind the first responders who are out there and doing those sorts of jobs that should be protected because they are doing the work that's, you know, absolutely difficult and challenging and dangerous on behalf of our communities.